All right, Shabbos say good morning, good morning. Let us begin a good tevach, a great zechus baruch Hashem, to be able to begin a new week of learning. Together we have incredible, overwhelming, beautiful, magnificent, cathartic, life-changing, and ultimate. Thank you so much. Thank you. You just interrupted my whole flow over there. I'm like adjectives. Thank you. Incredible daf ahead of us. Shabbos say really a great week, great gemara. Again, you know, a lot of these sugyas are really, they're fantastic in their conceptual frameworks. Of course, the challenge of Daf Yomi sometimes is just the pace that we have to work through some of these sugyas, but you can see embedded in these cases are some really incredible ideas. Anyway, let's begin by thanking all of our sponsors. So thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Iyar, an anonymous sponsor, with Hakaras HaTov to Hashem for all the blessings He has bestowed upon us, for Refuah Shlema for Devorah Leah Bas Chaya Rivka. May we all be Zoche Meres Hashem to witness the imminent coming of Mashiach. M'hir Rabbi Amenu. Amen. Our week of learning sponsors, Shmuel Rabin Karapkin, information of Shmuel's father's yard site, Mr. Leonard Karapkin, Lippa Ben Yecheskel HaKoin, Zichron Levracha. Ari and Haley Lichterman, in memory of Haley's mother, Linda Kotin, Zichron Levracha, and our Dafyomi sponsor for today, Pacey and Lisa Kaden, Le'ilui Nishmas, Lisa's father, Yaakov Kapel Ben Nochum Chaim, Zichron Levracha. We hope they have the merit of our Talmud Torah. All of the Neshamas will have an Aliyah. The families, a Nechama. We hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the schools of our Torah, bring our hostages home to their families, to our people, to our land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shower Hatzlacha and Siyata Deshmaya upon our precious soldiers. May they be Zoche Meres Hashem to be successful in all of their missions and come back to their families, B'Shalom and B'Karov. With that, let us begin. Today's daf is Pei Aleph, 81. And we are picking up Emirat Hashem at the bottom two dots on Pei Amabez 80b. The Kulon Sha'amru Tol Es Shelcha Vahave Moz Shomer Chinom, which is two, four, five lines up from the bottom. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvaro. Okay. All right, Shabbos, let's begin. So the Mishnah said as follows. The Mishnah said, "V'kulan she'amru tola shelcha, v'avei ma'os shomer chinam." So the Mishnah was looking at a very interesting case. Just to illustrate in a simple way, I have an object. The object needs repair, whatever the object may be. Right? I go ahead, I drop off my watch at the watchmaker. The watchmaker repairs my object, and then he gives me a call and he says, "Listen, here's the deal. Tol es shelcha, come and pick up your watch and pay my money." Right? So in other words, pick it up, pay my money. So the halacha is, at that point in time, what the shomer has indicated is, he's willing to give me back the object even before I've paid the money. So because of that, the craftsman himself, remember again, I was like, this is not a case of where I deposited something with someone to watch it. This is a case of where I deposited it, remember again, Lashon of the Mishnah is, on Uman. I deposited my watch with the watchmaker, he's there to repair it, the repair is finished. He says, pick up your watch and pay me my money. The order is very important. As opposed to saying, pay me my money and pick up your watch, which indicates that what? He's not releasing the object until I pay the money. When he says, pick up your watch and pay my money, that indicates that he's even willing potentially to give me back my watch before I pay back my money. Because of that, his status changes to the status of a shomer chinam. Remember again, we'll say, what did the Mishnah introduce to us? The Mishnah taught us that when you give an object to a craftsman for the craftsman to work on it, what's his status vis-a-vis the object? He's a shomer sachar. He's a paid custodian, which makes sense, right? I'm paying him to provide a service. The part of the service is fixing my watch. Inherent in that service is take care of my object, watch my object. So therefore, he's a shomer sachar. The Mishnah says that's step A. Step B, when he calls me up and says, okay, it's ready, pick it up and pay me my money, so he's transformed into a shomer chinam, an unpaid custodian. He says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, very interesting case, Amr lo shoel, shalach, v'shilcho meisa, chayef. So let's listen to this case. I'm borrowing a donkey from Reuven, just to keep it easy. I'm borrowing a donkey from Reuven, and what happens? And I tell Reuven, listen, do me a favor, send the donkey to me. I'm not coming to pick up the donkey, right? Do me a favor, send the donkey to me with a shaliach. So send an agent, send it to me. Rabbi said, what the Gemara is introducing us, the Mishnah introducing us is, because I told Reuven to send the donkey to me, my she'ila, my term of borrowing, begins already from the time that the donkey is being transported. In other words, even before the donkey gets into my possession, the fact that I tell Reuven to go ahead and send it to me, already again, I am taking responsibility of the donkey in transit. So if something happens to the donkey while it's being transported, it dies. Again, we also have to remember, different types of custodial relationships have different levels of liability. A shoel, a borrower, is one of the highest levels of liability. He's responsible for everything. So now I tell Reuven, I'm borrowing Reuven's donkey. Reuven, send the donkey to me. Since it's being sent at my behest, right? Right. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, I assume responsibility already from the beginning. So the Gemara says, "V'shalcha meisa chayiv v'chein b'shash machzira." So Tzav say again, when I return the donkey, now watch this. When I return the donkey and I'm giving it back to Reuven, so there are two possibilities. Possibility one is Reuven says, "I'm not coming to pick it up. You send it to me." So again, if Reuven's asking me to send it to him with a shaliach, that means Reuven assumes responsibility from the time that the donkey is in transit. If on the other hand, I am sending it back to Reuven, halacha l'maisa again, of my own volition, I'm choosing it to send it back this way, then halacha l'maisa, I bear responsibility. Okay, I'm a Rav from Bar Papa, I'm Rav Chista. Lo shana el, I will say that this is all fine and interesting. What does this have to do with anything? So here's the kunz, here we go. I'm a Rav from Bar Papa, I'm Rav Chista. Lo shanu elosheh zira besoch yemei she'ilasa. So I will say this is very interesting. When do we say that halacha l'maisa? Halacha l'maisa. I borrowed the donkey. Now I'm returning the donkey back. When I'm returning the donkey and the donkey is in transit back to Reuven, I'm responsible for that, right? Unless of course Reuven sent the shaliach to retrieve it from me. Otherwise, I'm responsible. Comes along with Chizda. Chizda says, when do I have responsibility to? Only for the duration of the she'ilah, of the borrowing. Avala achar yimei she'ilasa, pater. This is very interesting. Once the duration of the borrowing ends, then I am no longer a shoel. I'm no longer a borrower. Because I'm no longer a borrower, therefore I don't have the same level of liability. Or in other words, both sides. What the Gemara is suggesting is as follows. When I borrow an object from Reuven, so let's say for example, I borrow an object for 30 days from Reuven. My shoel identity is for the duration of those 30 days. Once the 30 days are over, I am no longer a shoel, which means, now watch this. Comes day 30, that object is still in my house. What's the halacha? I'm not a shoel anymore. Look at Rashi. Va'alachi me'she'elasa, part of the last line. Ha'afil v'beso shel shoel mesa mishekalu hayamim eino shoel aleha. So we'll say, this is actually really interesting. So now, Rav Chisda is introducing this idea that my identity as a shoel is only for the prearranged duration of she'ela. But once that time is over, I'm no longer a shoel on that object. Okay, so we'll say, fine, hold on to that. Master Rav Nachman Bar Papa. Rav Nachman Bar Papa says, 1 second. Look at our Mishnah. V'kulon sha'amru tol es shelcha v'havei mo'os shomrechina. Well, let's go back to the case of Mishnah. I drop off my watch by the watchmaker to Reuven. Say, Reuven, repair my watch. Reuven calls me up and he says, okay, come pick up your object and pay my money. Pay me the money. What's the halacha? Reuven is transformed from a Shomer Sachar to a Shomer Chinam. Now the Gemara says, look at Rashi. Last Rashi on the daf. V'kulon sha'amru. Taima dekali daiti she'inu chavitz lios od Shomer alav. Now, I will say, here's what's interesting. The way the Gemara understands this is as follows. That halacha l'maisa, why is it that Reuven is transformed from a shomer sachar to a shomer chinam? Because Adam, your father's sitting up here. You have to sit next to your father. How often do you get to learn at the same table as your father? I apologize for being the Bai Shugar Rabin. But okay. He has a baby. He's allowed to be late. So now the Gemara says as follows. So now listen to this. If you look at the case of the Mishnah, so now I will say, when does Reuven the watchmaker transform from being a Shomer Sacha to a Shomer Chinam? When he makes a declarative statement. When Reuven says to me, hey, Silver, your watch is ready. Come pick it up. What is he essentially doing? He's saying, I'm done, which means I'm no longer a Shomer Sachar. Right? So again, he doesn't have zero liability because the object is still in his possession, so he's going to be a shomer chinam, an unpaid custodian. But the reason why his identity or the reason why his shmira vis-a-vis the object changes is because he makes his declarative statement, I'm done. I'm done and pick up your object and pay me my money. So because he's made that statement, his identity as a shomer sachar has come to an end. And now he's a shomer chinam, type of payoff. We'll say it's very exciting. Hagimartiv. What happens if he would have just said, called me up and said, you know, I finished. Well, I'll let you know I finished the job. We could infer from that shomer sachar that he still remains a shomer sachar. In other words, what in Mishnah, what transforms Ruvain from a shomer sachar to a shomer chinam by telling me, pick up your object, pay me my money? That's a declarative statement that essentially says, I'm done, right? I'm done, and I need this out of here. I need this out of here. So if you want to keep it here, that's fine. I still have some level of liability, but it's a very basic level of liability. So halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says that it's only once he says, pay me the right, pick up your object and pay me the money. So Gemara says, tap Rashi. So ha gamartiv shomer sachar. Okay, so let's just frame what's happening over here. In the case of the Mishnah, case of the watch, I drop off my watch by Ruvain to watch it. While he's doing the work, he's a Shomer Sachar. He calls me up and he says, I'm finished, right? The work is done, your object is fixed, pay me my money. Right? Come and pick up your object, pay me my money. So what's the halacha? He's a Shomer Chinam. Now, I both say, now here's what's interesting. Contrast that with the Shoel case. In the case of the Shoel, where I borrowed the donkey from Ruvain, the Gemara makes it sound like, Rav Chisda makes it sound like, that as soon as the term of She'ila comes to an end, what's my identity? My identity is nothing. I'm not a Shoel, I'm nothing. So I both say, you hear the contradiction? In the Mishnah's case, identity of the craftsman only changes when he actively does something, and even then he still remains a Shomer Chinam. But yet in the Shoel case, it sounds like once the duration of the She'ila is over, that the Shoel is nothing vis-a-vis the object. How could that be? To which the Gemara says, Lo, haba v'haveit ba'os v'tala shalcha shomer sachar, aval gemartiv mai shomer chinam. So we'll say, the Gemara suggests, no, that's not the case. The case over here actually is, we'll say, that when Reuven the craftsman tells me, listen, bring money and pick up your object. So that's when Reuven remains a Shomer Sachar. Now remember again, why does he remain a Shomer Sachar in that case? Why? Because he's not releasing the object until when? Until I pay. So therefore again, he's holding on to the object till I pay. Therefore again, he's considered to be a Shomer Sachar. But if you were to call me up and say, Gamartiv, I finished. Then I both say that's enough of a statement to transform him from a Shomer Sachar to a Shomer Chinam. Because essentially what Gemartiv says is, I'm done, right? Pick up your object. And even if you pick it up without payment, I'm willing to go ahead and release it, which means he becomes a Shomer Chinam. So I both say, this is incredibly important. So now, okay, so the case of She'ila kind of helped us frame this a little bit, but here's what we have in the Mishnah. Essentially, three cases. Case one. I drop off my watch to Reuven to fix it. During the time that he's fixing it, what's Reuven's relationship to my watch? What's his relationship? Shomer Sachar, paid custodian. Okay. Now we have two cases. Case number one is when Reuven calls me up and he says, "Okay, come, go ahead, pay me the money and come take your object." What's his status? Still Shomer Sachar. Case three is where he says, I finished. Gemartiv, I finished. What's his status when he says, I finished? Shomer Chinam, unpaid custodian. What's the logic there? Because when he says, I finished, essentially what he's saying is, I'm done. Right, I'm done. In other words, come pick it up. Pay me before you pick it up. Pay me after you pick it up. Just pick it up. I'm done. Because of that, therefore, he's not holding the object until he receives payment. Therefore, his identity is transformed into a Shomer Chinam. Beautiful. That's it. The Gemara says, "Ihachi adetani v'kulon shal amru tol eshelcha va'vei maos." So we'll say that's the case. The Mishnah said, anytime that someone says, come pick up your object and pay me money, that person is a shomer chinam. So the Gemara says, nishmoin gamar. The Gemara says, nishmoin gamartiv v'choshekein tol eshacha. So just go ahead and say, the case of gamartiv. In other words, just let us say the case of gamartiv, where Reuven says, I finished. If when Reuven says, I finished, he becomes a shomer chinam, then all the more so when he says, come and pick up your object and then pay me the money, certainly he's a shomer chinam as well. To which the Gemara says, no. Tol es shalcha it's shrichalei. This is actually very interesting. You actually need the case of tol es shalcha. This is very interesting. I need the case when Reuven calls me up and he says, come pick up your object. I need that case. Why? Saka daitcha amina shomer chinam nami lohavi. So this is very interesting. I might have thought that in a case where Reuven calls me up and says, pick up your object, maybe he's not even a shomer chinam. In other words, maybe what he's literally saying is, I'm done, come pick it up. Kamash malon, no. Kamash malon, say, this is interesting. There is no such, just to frame this, there's no such scenario where Reuven has the object in his possession where there's not some level of liability, or responsibility, I should say. So again, when Reuven's doing the work, he's a shomer sachar. If he's clearly not releasing the object until he receives payment, he's a shomer sachar. But if he says, I finished, or he says, come pick up your object and pay me the money, in both of those cases, he will be a shomer chinam. Beautiful. Ikitan, we'll see an alternate version of this. Amrav Nachman bar Papa, af anan nami tanina. We also learn the following. V'kulon sh'omru tala shalcha v'avei ma'oz shomer chinam. Anytime Reuven says, come pick up your object and pay me the money. But see, you understand, by the way, how the order is very important over here. Pay me the money and pick up your object means that what? I'm not giving it to you until you pay. Shomer Sachar. Pick up your object and pay me the money indicates I'm willing to release it to you and we'll work out whatever. You'll pay me when you pay me. That's the Shomer Chinam. So the Gemara says, Kulan Shomer Tola Shachar Vavei Maos. Anytime Reuven says, pick up your object and give me the money, Shomer Chinam. So Reuven is the Shomer Chinam. My love, who din gemartiv? Would this not be the same thing if Reuven were to call me up and to say, hey, Silber, I finished. Saying I finished also makes you a shomer chinam. To which the Gemara says, lo, tol es shalcha shiny. It could be that the case of tol es shalcha is a different case. Okay, suppose it's an alternate version of the Gemara. Huna mar bar merimar kamei ravina rami masnisina adadi umishani. So we'll say, Huna mar, the son of merimar, said this over in front of Ravina. He contrasted mishnayis and he reconciled them. What did he say? Tanan, here we go. The kulan sha'amru tala shalcha avavei ma'oz shomer chinam, our Mishnah, anytime Reuven says, come pick up your object and pay me my money, so Reuven is a shomer chinam. So the Gemara says, v'hu adin ligimartiv. And the same halacha would apply when Reuven says, I finished is the same, right? The declaration of I finished is the same thing as saying, come pick up your object and pay me the money. In both cases, shomer chinam. Ayur minhu, the Gemara is a kasha, Amar lo shoel shlach v'shilcha umesa chayiv. Remembering, I was like, going back to the borrowing case. We had on payment days, right? I borrow a donkey from Reuven. And what happens? And Reuven goes, and I say, Reuven, send me the donkey. So now it's being sent to me at my behest. And what happens? It dies on the way. Chayiv. I'm chayiv because the donkey is being transported at my request. V'chin b'sha shemachzira. And the same halacha would apply ultimately again when the donkey is being returned. In other words, that when I return the donkey, if I'm returning the donkey and I'm organizing the return, I'm responsible. If Reuven organized the return, I no longer have any responsibility. When do I, the shoel, have responsibility if something happens to the animal during its return? That's when? Only if I'm turning it during the duration of the shoel, the borrowing. But after the days of the borrowing, I am potter. So I will say, the problem we keep running into with this Mishnah by borrowing is what? What does the Mishnah make it sound like? The moment the duration is over, my responsibility is done. Now, just to point this out, if you were to translate this to the case of the craftsman, what does that sound like? The moment the craftsman says, I finished, what should be his responsibility? Zero. Zero. Yet that's clearly not the case. Clearly, again, from the Mishnah, we could downgrade him from a Shomer Sachar to a Shomer Chinam, but there's absolutely going to be responsibility. Ibai Lehu. Pater, so the Gemara says, Ibailu. So here's our question. So we'll say, see, now let's go back to the Shayla case. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. So I borrow. You know, we'll say, I just want to tell you something. Sometimes these Gemaras, and there's a lot of information compacted into a little bit of time. And so sometimes, like, what ends up happening in these sugyas is, we know what happens. I space out for, like, one word. And suddenly, I don't even know, like what's happening over here. Like, I'm not even sure. And then, of course, then what happens? Then there's that little voice inside of my head, like, what am I doing here? Like, what's happening? Come on. Like, and it's a whole variety of options. I could have slept. Maybe I should be doing a different kind of learning for myself, right? And everything. And then, of course, as this is happening, we're still going on a Gemara. Right? So by the time I zone back in, it's even... So I'll say something. Sometimes in life, say, you ever, you know, sometimes if you ever have the schus to spend time like with a baby, I was with my grandson a little bit on Erev Shabbos, and he just wanted me like to lay down on the floor so like he could just like climb. So I lay down on the floor. He's standing over me and he's talking, but like gibberish. Obviously he's communicating something. I have absolutely no idea what he's saying. But it was the most beautiful and pleasant and magnificent conversation of my entire week. So I'll say, sometimes when you're just involved in something beautiful, even if you don't exactly understand the words that are coming out, it's just so fantastic to be part of such a conversation. So I will say, sometimes, that's Bav Mitzia as well, right? Just without all the drool coming down. Sometimes you just have to appreciate the fact that, you know what? I'm engaged in the most halic and beautiful of conversations. I don't know what all the words mean. I don't know what's happening in every single thing. Yeah, maybe I miss this, I miss that. But I'm privileged to be part of this conversation. So I will say, that's all. Just sometimes we forget that just to sit and to hear and to listen and to look at and to read words of Torah, even if they don't all gel intellectually for me, there's nothing more beautiful. There's just nothing more beautiful. Now, again, this should not be our goal, right? And obviously, my goal is to understand. There's nothing here that's esoteric. All of this is absolutely, totally understandable, right? It really is. But we all have those moments where, like, I just don't know. You know what I'm saying? Even if you don't understand the words, just appreciate the sweetness and the holiness of the conversation. So back to the Gemara. Remember the Shaul case. So it's wrapping the Shaul. So remember again, I borrowed the donkey. Now again, the Gemara said that halacha lemaisa. So again, there's two cases. So when I'm borrowing the donkey from Reuven, I say, Reuven, send it to me. I don't want to go pick up the donkey. Reuven, send it to me. So because Reuven's sending it to me, my responsibility as a shoel already begins when the donkey is in transit. Okay. That's not the chiddush. The chiddush is on the end of this. So now I'm done. I'm sending back the donkey. So I'm sending it back to Reuven. So again, I'm if I'm the one choreographing the return, I am responsible for the return. I'm responsible for it. Now we'll say, now where this got a little crazy is Rav Chisda said, that's only true if I'm organizing the return during the duration of the she'ila, of the borrowing. But let's say again, it's day 31, and I haven't organized the return, Reuven hasn't come to pick up the object. Rav Chisda says, I'm not responsible. The she'ila is done, and once the she'ila is done, I'm not responsible. Okay, now the Gemara says, let's unpack that. Ibai lehu. Pater mishal v'chayiv kishomer sachar? Are you saying after the duration of the she'ila, are you saying that now, I'm no longer a shoel, because the she'ila, the borrowing was for 30 days. Now it's day 31. So I'm no longer a shoel, but I'm still a shomer sachar. O dilma, shomer sachar nami lohavi. Or maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe again, I will say, maybe I'm not only not a shoel, I'm not even a shomer sachar. So maybe at most I'm a shomer chinam. And then I will say, it doesn't make sense to say I have no responsibility. Because obviously when something is in your possession, the pashtos, you have some level of responsibility. So when Rav Chisda says that after the duration of the she'ila is done, I'm potter. What does that mean? So Amar Meimar, Mistar Bapotter Mishol V'chayim V'chishomer Sacher, Hol V'ne'ne Mehanehava. So Amar Meimar says, Bepashtos, it sounds like I'm no longer a Shoel, but I am still a Shomer Sacher. Now we'll say, why am I a Shomer Sacher? Because I benefited from the object. In other words, we'll say, anytime you're watching something that you benefited from, by definition, because you received that benefit, you have to at least be a Shomer Sacher. Right, you have to at least, or we'll say, what do you mean, Bob? What am I getting paid? What's my payment? What's my payment? My payment was benefit from the object. I used the donkey for the last 30 days. So Amemar posits that when Rav Chisda says that after the duration of the Sheila, I'm putter, meaning I'm no longer a Shoel, but I'm for sure a Shomer Sacher because I got benefit from it. So Tanya Kavase da Amemar. So we'll say, we have a Bryce that supports me. Rav says, great case. First white line. Halokeach kelim mibesa uman. L'shagran l'beis chamav. Watch this. I purchase utensils from a craftsman to send to my father-in-law's house. Rabbi said, what's the case over here? Rashi says over here, l'shagran l'beis chamav, sivlonos la'arusasa. What's the backtrack? Suvas days. Right? Sivlonos. What are sivlonos? Sivlonos are gifts. It was customary. Remember again, Rabbi said, there used to be up to a year between Erisin and Nisuin. So remember again, during that time, the Chassan would send gifts to the Kala. Those gifts are called Sivlonos. So we'll say it's interesting. Sivlonos is same Lashon of what? Right? Savlanut. Right? Because again, there was often time until marriage. So again, this was like to hold everybody over. We'll see, you know, it's interesting a little bit. You know, that there's a beautiful Vart. I believe it's the Chozev Lublin. He says, you know, we often talk about this idea that patience is a virtue. Patience is a virtue. So patience is more than a virtue. Patience, at least for a Jew, is a necessity. We've been waiting for certain things for thousands of years. And I would say, but you know, there's sometimes patience is also the enemy. So the Chozev says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, that I'm going to take Klal Yisrael, but it says, Tachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Sivlos Mitzrayim. So Sivlos means the burdens of Egypt. So the Chozer says, Sivlos, Savlanos is the same type of word. He says, sometimes in life, we become too patient with our circumstances. Right? So there's this fine line between, on one hand, having patience for certain things to resolve and to work out, and then you could become too patient. Sometimes you could become too complacent. Kadosh Baruch Hu was like Moshe Rabbeinu, part of the problem that Klal Yisrael encountered was they had too much savlanut. They had too much patience. They became too accepting of the difficulty of their circumstances. They became too accepting of servitude and just accepted it just as a lifestyle. Votseisio samitachas sivlonos Mitzrayim. Not just sivlonos Mitzrayim. I will make them impatient with their circumstances. So when, I will say, when to be patient and to allow things to kind of work out versus when to be impatient and to force change now, part of the dialectic of life. In any event, so what happens? So Reuven is marrying Rachel. So what does he do? He buys stuff from the craftsman to send to his father-in-law's house. Now watch this. Va'amar lo. Imekalben osamimeni ani nosin l'cha demeyan. So Reuven says like this to the craftsman. He says, listen, here's the deal. If they accept the gifts, then I'll pay you for it. Ve'im lav ani nosin l'cha l'fi tovas ha'ashaben. I will say now, remember, there's always a possibility that somebody's going to deny the gift. So he's going to send their gifts and they're going to say, no, thank you. Kala doesn't like it. The father-in-law doesn't want it. Now here's the good news. With a gift, even if the recipient doesn't want to accept it, there's still goodwill. And that goodwill has a value as well. So what Reuven says to the craftsman is like this. I'm buying the objects. I'm not paying you yet, but I'm buying them. If my future in-laws accept the gifts, I'll pay you. If they don't, I'm still going to pay you the value of the goodwill, however that's assessed. Fine. And Reuven says, now what happens? We're both saying, Venansu. Suddenly, as the gifts are being transported, an ones happens, an extenuating circumstance happens, and everything breaks. What's the halacha? Balicha chayiv. So when the objects are being transported to the kala's house, then Reuven is chayiv. Reuven is chayiv. Because Rabbi said, at that point in time, when they're being transported, Reuven is looked at as a purchaser. So because he's a purchaser, therefore he has complete liability. However, again, b'chazira, If Rabbo said, let's say again, the Kala said, no, thank you. So now the objects are being transported back, then what's Talacha? Potter. Then if there's an Ones circumstance, and let's say again, the objects are destroyed, Reuven is Potter. Why is he Potter? Mipnei Shehu Kinosei Schar. Why? Because he's like a paid custodian. Now Rabbo said, now what does that have to do with anything? Now again, Rabbo said, remember again, now why is he a paid custodian? Why is he a Shomer Sachar when the objects are being transported back? Because he got benefit. What's his benefit? The goodwill. What do you see from here? That whenever you are benefiting or have benefited from an object and you it is now in your custodial care, you are always at least like a Shomer Sachar. So therefore, going back to the borrowing case, I borrowed the donkey from Reuven. Now if we go with Rav Chista's idea that once the duration of the borrowing, 30 days goes by, so it was a 30-day borrowing for the donkey. It's day 31. Rav Chista said, I'm no longer a Shoel. Fine. So you know, what are you? And what's the answer? Like Amir said, what's the answer? A Shomer Sachar. Why am I a Shomer Sachar? Because Halacha Lamaisa, I got benefit from the object. And whenever you get benefit from something, you're not going to be less than a Shomer Sachar. All right, incredible. What's another good story? Ha'o gavra dezabin lechamra lechavre. But this is a great case. There was a guy who sold wine to his friend. So we'll say, so let's just play this out. So Reuven buys wine from wine guy, right? From merchant, we'll just call him. From merchant. Amrle, kamamtina le leduchta ploni. So now we'll say, this is interesting. Reuven essentially bought it in the following scenario. Reuven wasn't buying it for himself. Rather, Reuven was buying it to sell it somewhere. So Reuven was like this, I'm going to take it to the shuk, and I'm going to sell it. So the Gemara says, "I mizdabna mutov." So if I'm able to sell it, good, fantastic. You know, then I'll pay you. V'ilau, but if I can't sell it, ma'adrinul anhelech, I'm going to return it to you. It's an interesting arrangement, right? So Reuven essentially is like merchant is like the wholesaler. Reuven is the retailer. So Reuven says, "I'm taking it from you on the condition to sell it. I'm selling it in a particular place. If I could sell it, great, I'll pay you the money. If not, I'm going to return it to you." And by the way, they're both good with this arrangement. Okay, so I'll say what happened. So what happened? So Reuven's taking the wine to the particular location and he was unable to sell it. On the way back, when Reuven was taking the wine back from the marketplace, back to merchant to give it back, isness, an ones happened, some extenuating circumstance happened, the wine was destroyed. So what's the halacha? Also came to Rav Nachman. Chayvei. They came before Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, I'm sorry, Reuven, you chayev. Really? Eis ve'rabba l'Rav Nachman. Rabbi said, what are you talking about? Nensu b'halicha chayev u'b'chazara pater mipnei shu kenosi schar. But one second. He'll say, on the way back, so on the way there, I understand, Reuven is like a purchaser, therefore he has complete liability. On the way back, I will say, after he didn't sell it, right? His intention is to return it back now to merchant. What should be his status? Shomer Sachar. We'll say, a Shomer Sachar is not chayiv for onsin. A Shomer Sachar is not chayiv for extenuating circumstances. So why should Reuven be chayiv for the extenuating loss of the wine? Now, we'll say, it's very interesting. Amalei, chazar dahai halichahi. This case of the wine is different. For Reuven, taking the wine and bringing the wine back is no different. My taima, svarahu bechaziraso ilo ashkach lezabune milo zabna. For one simple reason, I was saying, as much as Reuven was taking the wine to sell it in a particular location, I was saying, Reuven, if on the way back somebody would have offered to buy the wine from Reuven, would he have sold it? And the answer is, of course. Therefore, again, I was saying, he's ready to sell wherever it is, and therefore his status as a purchaser is both on his way there and on his way back. Because that's the status of the purchaser, therefore he has complete liability. Okay, incredible. Incredible. Let's go back there. Shomer li ve'eshmer lecha, shomer sachar. So we'll say, remember again, what about the following case? Reuven says to Shimon, watch my object. And Reuven says, you know, Reuven, Shimon, because you're watching my object, I'll watch your object. Right? So there's a mutual relationship over here. They watch the Sefer Rabbos, say, each one is a shomer sachar for the other. Here we go. Va'amai. Rabbos, say, get ready for this. Va'amai, shmira babaylim hi. This is a case of where the owner is in the employ of the shomer, in which case there's no liability. What does that mean? We'll say, watch this. This is actually really fascinating. Look at Rashi. V'amai shmir b'baylami. It's Rashi in the short lines, about five lines up before it gets wide. V'amai shmir b'baylami. When I watch this. Baylov shel chefetz zeh shenigna b'malachto shel shomer haya. Sha'af hu mishamer hayalo ksiv im ba'alov imo lo yishalim v'darshina lekamon imo b'melachto v'yaf agav d'mshol ksiv. Okay, we'll see, let me unpack this for you. Shoel, right, borrower. Okay, we're going to go on a little bit of a journey over here. Borrower, what's the liability of a borrower? Liability of a borrower. Everything. Remember, a shoel, a borrower, has the highest level of liability. Again, we'll say, remember again, liability is always commensurate with, what's the right word? This is not helping, but you understand, right? With usage. With usage. In other words, the greater your usage of the object, the greater your liability. So a shoel, a borrower, has complete usage. So because he has complete usage, therefore he has complete liability. So a shoel, a borrower is chayav for everything. Geneva, aveda, it's lost, it's stolen. And a shoel is even chayav for ones. Ones, some extenuating circumstance happened and the object is stolen or destroyed, shoel is going to be chayav. There's one exception to the rule. Or I should say, one carve out where a shoel is not liable, which is bailav imo. If the owner of the object is together with the shoel, when something happens to the object, whatever that something is, it was stolen, it was lost, in ones, the shoel is pater. Gzeres hakaz, it's a pasuk. Baal of imo, if the owner is there, shoel is exempt. Now let's say we are going to see a little bit later, in about two weeks from now, we're going to see a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara darshes this pasuk in a dramatically different way and says like this, that essentially, if I deposit an object with someone, right? I'm the owner of an object, and I deposit it with someone, but at the time of the deposit, I am providing a service for the shomer. The shomer is not liable for anything that happens with the object. Okay, one more time. If when the shomer is watching the object, the owner of the object is somehow in the employ of the shomer's pater. It's an application of Baal of Imo. Just like the shoel is pater whenever the owner of the object is with him. So anytime you are watching something, providing a shmira service for someone, but that person, the owner of that object, is in your service as well, you're pater. You're pater. It's just, it's not a logical construct. It's an application of the pasuk. It's the Gemara's going to mention it's gzeres hakasav. So watch this. It's very, very exciting. So now watch this. So now the Mishnah is like this. So let me get this straight. So Reuven gives an object to Shimon to watch, and Shimon gives an object to Reuven to watch. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah said, what's the halacha? They're both a shomer sachar. Nebo say, why are they both a shomer sachar, right? So Reuven is watching Shimon's object. Why is Reuven a shomer sachar over that? What's the sachar? What's the compensation that he's receiving? What's compensation? Shimon's watching his object, right? They're each getting compensated with the other watching their object. So the Gemara says, but one second. This is a case of where the owner of the object is in the employ of the shomer. If that's the case, then halacha l'maisa what? There's no liability. There's no liability. So why should Reuven be a shomer sacha for Shimon and Shimon be a shomer sacha for Reuven when Reuven is in the employ of Shimon and Shimon is in the employ of Reuven? In which case, again, halacha l'maisa, it's battle of emo. There should be no liability. Fascinating. To which the Gemara says, Amra Papa do Amrale Shmali Hayom Bashmar Lakhalamachar. Ah, because we must remember again, that's only true if there's simultaneity. There's no simultaneity in this case. Right? In this case, over here, Reuven saying to Shimon, I'll watch your object today, and you'll watch my object tomorrow. So remember again, they're another essentially what the Digimar is saying, they're never in the simultaneous employ of one another. Okay, pretty easy. Turn up on Shmar Leva Shmar Lacha. So I will say again, Reuven says to Shimon, watch my object for me, I'll watch your object for you. Hashilini Vashilcha, or lend me something and I'll lend to you. The Gemara says, Shmar Leva Shilcha, watch my object and I'll lend to you. Hashilini Vashmar Lacha, Kulan Nasu Shomei Sakar Zelaze. All of them become paid custodians one for the other. The Gemara says, Va'amai, Shmir Babayalini. But we'll say, but once again, this is what we call Shmira Babayla. So we'll say Shmira Babayla means whenever I'm watching an object, I'm a shomer for someone, but the owner of the object is in my employ at that same time. I am potter from all liability. So these are all cases of Shmira Babayla. Amra Papa, Da'amarle shmarli hayom beshmar lecha lemachar. Okay, I will say same thing. No simultaneity. I will say great case here. Watch this. Hano ahuloi. So I'll say there were these ahuloim. Who are ahuloim? Rashi says, fourth white line of Rashi, mochre al shemechabsim bo begadim. So we'll say these are soap merchants. So there were these soap guys, soap dealers, soap merchants. The chol yoma hava afi lechad minayu. So we'll say now they were like I guess they're kind of like a shtickle, like unionized, right? They were a chevra. So we'll say, so what happened? So they worked together, and the arrangement they had is every day one guy would have the responsibility to bake the bread for the group. Okay, Katara notes, right? Everybody had a responsibility to bake the bread. Okay, what happened? One day they said to one of the guys, we'll just call him Ruvain. Say, Ruvain, you're on. Right? You're on, you bake us the bread today. Amarlu, no problem. Naturally glimai. He says, do me a favor, hold my cloak. Right? Hold my cloak, watch my cloak while I bake the bread. Ada asa pashuba ve'ignov. So we'll say what happened. So now Ruvain goes off to bake the bread. He deposited the cloak with the other members of the chevra, the soap dealers. And what happened? And now he comes back. They were poshea. They were negligent. And his cloak was gone, destroyed, whatever it was. Or stolen, I'm sorry. I was looking at Rapapa. So they came over Rapapa. Chayvinu. Rapapa said to the guys, to the rest of the chevra, you're chayv. You're a poshea, right? You're a shomer sacher, because remember again, he said you're a shomer sacher, right? Even a shomer chinam was chai for pshia, for negligence. But again, you're a shomer sacher, and therefore again, Reuven was baking the bread for you, providing a service, right? Therefore again, you're a paid custodian. Halach l'mais yichayiv. Amrulei rabbanan l'rapapa. So the rabbanan said to rapapa, amai pshia b'baylami. I understand why are they chayiv? I will say this is pshia b'baylim. In other words, I will say, what does it mean pshia b'baylim? This is a case ultimately again of shmir. In other words, remember Reuven, whose object they were watching, was in the employ of the dealers of the other chevra at the time that they were watching it. So I will say, so remember again, as we said before, anytime you're a shomer, but the owner of the object is in your employ at the same time that you're watching the object, there's no liability. So why should there be liability over here? To which the Gemara says, God ichsif. So Rabbi says, so Rapapa was embarrassed. Rapapa was embarrassed because he felt that he passed in the wrong way. So Rabbi says, it turned out interesting. It turned out that Rapapa was at the end of the day right. Why? Because remember again, the issue of what we called Shmira Bebailim, right? That p'tur only applies when there's simultaneity. So at the time that the owner of the object gives over the object to the shomer, at that exact moment, the owner is also in the employ of the shomer. That's be simultaneity. It turns out, I will say that in this case, what happened? Reuven gave his cloak to the rest of the soap guys. And Reuven didn't go to make bread immediately. What did he go to do? Drink beer. First of all, say it's also a good way to get like in the zone, right, for bread baking, right? So again, so because there was no simultaneity, therefore again, it's not called shmir b'baylim, and therefore halacha l'maisa, the rest of the chevra, the shomrim, are chayiv. So Rapapa was right. So the Gemara says, Hanicha leman da'amar p'shia b'baylim pater. Now, Bo said, we're going to see this whole thing of p'shia b'baylim. We're going to see this whole thing is a machlokas. So that works well according to the opinion that says that it's pater. So the Gemara says, mishum hachi ichsip. That's why Rapapa was embarrassed. El leman da'amar chayiv amai ichsip. But according to the opinion that says that even p'shia b'baylim, as Bo said, even p'shia that takes place when the owner of the object is in the employ of the shomer, you're still chayiv amai ichsip. Why was Rav Papa embarrassed? Elahu Yoma, the Gemara reframes the case. Very interesting. Totally different case. Elahu Yoma lav di day hava. Let's say here's the case. Same thing. Chevra, right? Soap dealers. Soap, right? Soap chevra. What happens? They have the same arrangement. One of the guys bakes bread every single day. That happens to be that particular day. It was Shimon was on duty. Shimon, whatever, wasn't up to it. Wasn't there, whatever it is. They said, Reuven, can you fill in? So it wasn't Reuven's day. Reuven, can you go ahead and fill in? So the Gemara says, "Va'amr l'videi zil afilan, va'amr l'hu bahu agra deka'afina l'hu naturu glimai." And Reuven says, "Listen, guys, it's not my day today, but here's what I'm willing to do. for the, so to speak, wage for me filling in, because I'm not really responsible today. So therefore, I would even be entitled to say, you want me to bake the bread today on a day that's not my day? Pay me. But instead, here's what I'm going to tell you. Don't pay me. Don't pay me. Instead of paying me, watch my cloak. Well, barter services, you should have paid me to bake the bread, but instead of paying me to bake the bread, go ahead and watch my cloak. So both sides say, now this is an explicit case of a shomer sachar, right? Because here he's saying, I'm entitled to money for baking the bread. Instead of giving me money, you watch my cloak, shomer sachar. Good. We'll say, I'm a base. Ad ga'asaf. So again, before Reuven came back from baking the bread, Ignif, so Reuven's cloak was stolen. So this is a case of gneva, not pshia, not negligence. This is a case of gneva. Nebo said, what's a shomer sachar's liability by gneva? What's his liability? Chayv. Shomer sachar's chayv for gneva aveda. So Rebbe said again, this is a case of shomer sachar, the object was stolen. So they came over Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, this is easy. Of course, it's a case of a shomer sachar, where again there's gneva. Shomer sachar is going to be chayv. Amrli Rav Papa, hashmira bebailami. But one second, why should you be chayiv? This is a case of shmira b'baylim. Right? The Rebbe said, this is shmira b'baylim. So halacha l'mais, again, this is a scenario. Because the Rebbe said, remember again, beforehand, the Gemara was making it a case of pshia b'baylim. We're going to talk about that later on. Where the shomer is posheh, he's negligent, but the owner of the object is in his employ. That's a machlokas. Now the Gemara reframed the case. It's not pshia b'baylim. Rather, what is it? It's shmira b'baylim. Classic case that we saw before. And it sounds like everyone agrees that Shmira B'Bailim, what's Shmira B'Bailim? At the time that I am a shomer for the object, the owner of the object is in my employ. It sounds like what the Gemara is saying is everyone agrees that in that case, I am freed from all liability. So Rav Papa said that the Chever should be Chayiv because they are shomer Salchar. And shomer Salchar is Chayiv for Gneva. But the Rabbanu said to Rav Papa, I don't understand why should the Sob Chevra be Chayiv. At the end of the day, this is Shmira B'Bailim. At the time they were watching the cloak, Reuven was in their employ, in that Reuven was going ahead, halacha l'maisa, and baking the bread. So ultimately, again, this should be potter. So Tush the Gemara says, now ichsif. So Rav Papa was embarrassed. Now I understand why Rav Papa was embarrassed, because Rav Papa forgot the halacha. Later on it came out that what? Rav Papa was actually right. So why was Rav Papa right? Because Rav Papa, remember again, the p'tur of Shmira B'Bailim, right? The p'tur that says that you're only potter, right? The shomer only is potter when the owner of the object is in his employ is when? Simultaneity. But when there is no simultaneity, then ultimately, again, the shomer will be chayiv. At the time that Reuven gave his cloak to the rest of the Sof Chevra, Halacha l'maisa. He went to drink beer. He wasn't baking bread. So because he wasn't baking bread, therefore no simultaneity, and therefore indeed Rav Papa paskined correctly. Fascinating. Let's go back. So I just want to point out, just keep this on your running list of sugyas. But this idea of Shmira, so again, if you're a little fuzzy on the details of Shmira B'Bailim, it's okay. That's because it's not this sugyo. It's Tzadik Dalid. The Gemara just kind of dropped this down on us. But just understand what you should remember just for today is the same way that the Pasuk seeks out the idea that a Shoel who has complete liability for everything is Potter when the owner of the object is with him. We're going to see that Chazal expanded that idea to say that any time that a person is watching an object and the owner is in the employ of that Shomer, the shomer is freed from liability. Again, svara for that logic, we'll see, but that's the logic. Okay, let's go back there. Great case. Hano Beitrei, Tavu Maskevos is a great case. It's a really great case. Hano Beitrei, Tavu Kamaskeva Archa. There are two guys traveling on the road. Chad Arich, the Chad Gutza. One was tall, one was short. Can't make this stuff up, right? One was tall, one was short. The Gemara says, Arich Arach Chamra. The tall guy was riding on a donkey, Vahavile Sadina, and he had a linen garment. Gutsa Michsi Sarbala, the Kamaski Bikare, the short guy, was wearing a woolen garment and was walking by foot. Right? Okay, watch this. Kimatli Nara, they got to a river. Shakle Lisarbale Vaose Iluya Khamra, the Shakli Lisadina Dahu the Ichsibe. So we'll say, what happens? They get to the river. Now, here's the issue. Tall guy on the donkey has absolutely no problem because he's sitting on that crossing the river. Short guy is crossing the river by foot. Now, so that's number one. That's issue number one. But that's not really the issue. The issue is, remember again, I will say, short guy is wearing what? A woolen garment. So wool, when it gets wet, becomes much heavier. Linen, when it gets wet, is just much lighter. So what does short guy do? Short guy takes his woolen garment, takes it off, puts it on the donkey, takes tall guy's linen garment and wraps himself in it. Okay, so two things happening over here, right? So again, so therefore I will say, so short guy walking by foot takes off his. I want to point out there's two things happening here. Number one is that short guy is placing his object on the donkey without anyone's consent. So that's utilization of the donkey for a load of objects. And number two, he's taking tall guy's linen garment also without consent. So two things happening over here. What occurred? So the Gemara says, Shatfu amay v'sadine. Could have kind of predicted something was going to go bad over here, right? But l'maisa, the river comes, the current comes, and washed away the linen garment. So now short guy lost tall guy's linen garment. So they came before Rava, so psak, chayve. So Rava said, schayiv, short guy is chayiv because he lost the linen garment. Amalei Rabbanan l'Rava amay. Sheila Babailani. So this is very interesting. So the Rabbanan said to Rava, why? This should be a case of Sheila Babailani. Rava said, why is it Sheila Babailani? In other words, because Rava said, listen to this. Interestingly enough, at the moment, so to speak, that short guy was watching the linen garment of tall guy was providing a service, or I should say, tall guy was in the service of short guy. How so? Because tall guy's donkey was transporting short guy's woolen garment. So this is a case of where the shomer is in the employ of the the owner is in the employ of the shomer, or vice versa. The Gemara says, Ichsif. So the truth is, Rava was embarrassed. L'sofi glay milsa, te below daite shakle, o below daite ose. The Gemara says, no. We'll say again, this whole case is a different kind of case. Why is it a different kind of case? There was no consent in this case. In other words, everything that short guy did, he did without consent. So he took the linen garment without the knowledge of the tall guy, and he also put the woolen garment on the donkey without the knowledge of the tall guy. So because there was no consent, therefore, again, I've also said there was no like reciprocity over here. Because there's no reciprocity, there's no shoel bebailim, and therefore, again, short guy is chayiv. Short guy is chayiv. Incredible. But also another great case. It's such good stories. Hu gavra. The ogre le chamra le chavre. So let's listen to this. There was a guy who rented a donkey to his friend. So Reuven rented a donkey to Shimon. He gave him one simple instruction. Amrlei, chazi lo tezel ba'archa dinar pakod, dika maya. Reuven rents the donkey to Shimon. So Reuven says to Shimon, one instruction. Do not go down the road by the Pakod River. Why? The road always floods. There are always floods, and you're going to get swept away. The donkey's going to get swept away. Okay? So the Gemara said, rather, zil ba'archav denarish, delekamaya, go down the Narish road, because the Narish road doesn't have water. Okay? So I'll say, Reuven's one instruction to Shimon. What does Shimon do? Azil ba'archav denar pakod. So Shimon goes down the Pakod River Road. Right? I would say, one of the best ways to ensure someone does something is how? Tell them not to do it. They'll say, by the way, this you should just know, this is as old as time itself. The Ribono Shel Olam gave Adam HaRishon one simple... By the way, I want to tell you something. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not said anything about the Eitz Das Tov HaRa, had he not said anything, I guarantee you, Adam HaRishon would have never touched it. The only reason why, because there's so much other stuff in the entire Gan. The only reason why Adam HaRishon was drawn to it was because at the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can't have it. Rechaim Sholav as in Sichos Moser brings down this Yisod. He says, man, because he has made Betzalel Elokim, they will say, what is the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam? What is the greatness of Hashem? The greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu lies in the fact that he is absolutely, completely, and unequivocally autonomous. No one can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to do. No one makes rules for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in control. Rechaim Sholav, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes, He says, man who has a tzelem Elokim, I'm made in the image of God, I have a spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in me, there's a piece of me that wants that as well. There's a piece of me. Now, again, I will say, if reined in the right way, in the right way, so again, I will say, that little desire for self-autonomy is what leads to self-actualization, is what leads to accomplishment, because I tell myself, I can do anything I put my mind to. Where it goes a little bit off the rails is where man doesn't want to be told what to do. I would say, that's why, again, there's a piece of us that when you tell us, don't do something, Chaim Shlomo brings down, he says, this is, we have to really finish this up, but he says, this is the psychology of sin. He says, sin doesn't make any sense. Sin doesn't make any sense. Right? I would say, you take out a piece of paper, you make two columns, right? Put your favorite Avera on the top, right? Your favorite Avera of all time. Put it on the top of the page. Two columns, pros and cons. Which column is always going to win? Oh, okay. That's a little scary. Okay, the cons are always going to win. Always, right?
The cons are always going to win.
Why? Very simple. Whatever you're going to get out of sin is always going to be limited. It's always going to be limited. The fallout from sin is potentially eternal. So what's the pshat? We're smart people. We're intelligent people. How do we make bad decisions each and every day? And I both say, because deep down, Chaim Shlomo says, deep down, do you know why I do Averus? Do you know what I'm telling Kadosh Baruch Hu? Deep down, I'm telling Hashem, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I know, it sounds crazy when you say it. It sounds crazy when you say it, but deep down in my subconscious, when I sin, come on, I can resist the temptation. I'm not an animal. I can. Vaharaya, there are many temptations I do resist. So why is it that there are so many that I don't? What's up, Shad? I'm such a Baal Kaiva. I have such taiva, such desire. I can't rein it. It's not true. But we'll say, if we were uncontrollable Baalei Taiva, then we would do every Avera, but we're not. We're able to rein ourselves in when we choose to. So why, at times, do we choose not to? Because deep down, I'm telling God, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I'm in control. I got this. I don't like people telling me what to do. Because you know what the most common first word for children is? Most common first word? No. Now I'm sure it's because it's monosyllabic. I'm sure like there's a lot of like speech reasons for it as well. I will say, but like on a deeper, like on a nafshi level, wow. From the time, right, this little kid wearing a diaper, can't even take care of anything himself. No. No. Who are you? Who are you? No. Let's say it's incredible. No, from the time that we could first begin to put letters together to form words, the first thing we do is an expression of self-autonomy. Don't tell me what to do. Don't. It's incredible. Let's say that. And so when you begin to realize this, it opens. And now when we say it, it like sounds like, okay, yeah, I do that a lot. I do that a lot. We do it in our relationships, we do it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then when we begin to realize how foolish it is, that's hopefully, again, we begin to correct this. So here, as soon as Reuven said to Shimon, don't go down the Pekod River Road, you knew exactly what was happening. Shimon was going down the Pekod River Road. So we'll say, now what happened? Let's finish this up. So the Gemara says, ki asa umis chamra. So sure enough, he took it down the Pekod River Road, and the donkey died. Now, the donkey didn't die because of flooding. Why did the donkey die? Nebuch. You know, whatever. You know, b'seva tova, zakim b'saveh, whatever happened. You know, it died. It just died. Not because of flooding, died. Now, what's the question? Ki asa amar in ba'archa d'nai pekod asli, umi yulek amaya. So Reuven comes back. Reuven says, Shimon, I'm sorry, bach dynamis. The donkey died, but, and I want to tell you, let me finish my sentence. I did take it down the Pekod River Road, but there was no flooding. It didn't die because of flooding, it died of natural causes. Amar le Rava, mali le shaker. So Rava says, we believe Reuven, because Reuven had no reason to lie. Why? Ibai amar le ana ba'archav denarash azli. Because also remember again, Reuven could have just as easily said, remember, we'll say, Reuven is the one who controls the narrative. So because he controls the narrative, Reuven could have also said what? I didn't go down the Pekod River Road, and it just died of natural causes. And had it died of natural causes, and he not said anything about the Pekod River Road, he would have been potter. He chooses of his own volition to tell us that he took it down the Pekod River Road. Okay, mali l'shaker. He didn't have to include this piece of information at all. Now that he did, we believe him. Amar le Abaye, mali l'shaker, b'makom eidim lo aminan. Abaye says, no. Now let's say, Mali Lashaker means, at the end of the day, when you provide information that we would not have known otherwise, right? Or you said it in a way where you could have lied, but you didn't lie, we believe you. Now let's say, if let's say somebody says something, but there are witnesses that contradict that, we believe the witnesses over the claimant. Now let's say, there is edus that there is always water on the Pekod River Road. It is always flooded. Reuven says it wasn't flooded. Sorry, Reuven. Your statement versus what we know to be the actual circumstantial evidence, or the actual, not even circumstantial, what we know to be the fact, the metzias about this, your statement against the metzias, no pun intended, doesn't hold any water, right? At the end of the day, we look at the metzias, ultimately, again, over your words. And therefore, Halacha L'maisa, in that case, we do not believe Reuven, and we assume that if he went ahead and he took the animal down the Pekod River Road and it died, that it died because of flooding, he's in violation of the words or of the instructions of the owner, and therefore again he is completely liable. Ajab will say, Shkoyach, stop over. Perfect, we're good. It's a short daf tomorrow. You have Rebbe say, Shkoyach, incredible start to the week. Have a great day, everyone. Chevron Zoom, have a great day.